bless you and the Lord be with you. I hope you've all done your duty for your mums this morning, girls and boys. Did you take them tea and coffee in bed? Did you give them breakfast in bed, or did daddy? No, mum was up early giving it to you. Okay, I know what mums do. I did exactly that this morning. And gave, well, she had a card from the dog anyway. It's good to see you all this morning. Now, I'm going to change course this morning. I'd set up something to do this morning, and I feel within my spirit it's the right thing to do. I'd like you to turn, if you have your Bible. Well, you all have your Bibles, whether you've got a phone or a paper Bible. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Sorry, Emma. Luke chapter 15. And verse 11. I'm going to pray for a moment. Now, dear Father, as we come to your word, as we come to look at what you've got to say, Lord, there are many voices around us trying to impact us with what they've got to say. But Lord, we want to hear you this morning. Our Father, come and speak to us from your word, your book this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus was great at telling stories. He was amazing at telling stories. When I was in school, we were taught that these stories were called parables. They were earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. That's what my RI teacher used to teach us. And Jesus told stories, and I think they were more than stories. They weren't once upon a time stories, but they were stories about people he knew, circumstances he knew about. And so he shared these stories. And Jesus continued, it says in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. Now, that's the opening lines of the story. There was a man. Now, let me tell you about this man. This man was quite well off. He had a few bob in the bank. He was well off. He had a bit of land and a farm. He had other people to work for him. In those days, they called them slaves. But yes, he was well off. And he had two sons. And his sons were the heirs to all he had when his time to come to leave this scene of time. But one day, the younger one said to his father, listen to this, Father, give me my share of the estate. Whoa. What he was saying to his father, look, Dad, I wish you were dead, but instead, act as if you're dead now and give me what's mine. Can you imagine the impact this had upon his father? He was wishing his father was dead, but because he wasn't, he was going to ask him now for the money, for what was rightfully his. It wasn't rightfully his until his father had died, but there we are. This was the situation. Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. I can't begin to imagine what had to happen for him to divide it between them. Did he have to sell a bit of land? Did he have to get rid of some stuff to get some money in? It really caused an upheaval in the home. And listen, our waywardness, our sinfulness has caused an upheaval, not only in our lives, but in other lives as well. And this young man, sinful and willful, upset the apple cart, if you like, just to do what he wanted to do. And as soon as he had what his father gave him, the Bible says that not long after that, the youngest son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth on wild living. He went as far away from home as he could. I remember one of my little flock once upon a time saying to us, I'll be glad to get away from you. I'm glad she's here this morning. But he wanted to get away, away from the Father's control, away from the Father's impact upon his life. I want to get away. And so he went into a far country, and what did he do? He squandered his wealth on riotous living. What there was to enjoy, what there was to experience, he spent and spent and spent. He had money friends, you know, those friends that came and put their arms around his shoulders as he bought them another drink. There were lots of people around him, and he spent. And then the Bible says, in verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Times got hard. He'd spent all his money. It was all gone. And now here he was, in a far country, far from home, no money, no means, no friends. He had nothing. And he began to be in want. So he looked for a job, and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now, in this society, at this time, that was some bad job to do, because in this society, pigs weren't a desirable thing to be near, to eat or anything. But he groveled in the mud with the pigs. And listen, the Bible goes on to say, so he went and went down. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. He was so hungry, he was so desperate that he was ready to eat the pigs' food. But no one gave him anything. He was without God and without hope in the world. Now that is the state of mankind today. We're all sinners. We've all strayed from the Father's house. We've all turned our back upon his, we've heard his rules. We've heard about this morning the Ten Commandments. We've all gone our own way. We've gone into a far country. We've gone to do our own thing, to live it up. Whoa, all that stuff. And then the hard times hit. And he began to be in want. So low was he that he would have ate the slops that the pigs were eating. That was his life. And that might be feel how you feel today. You feel so wretched, so empty, so far away, so lost. The Bible says that Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save them that are lost. And that's our message this morning. And this young man went into the fields to feed the pigs, but no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Listen, the Bible also says that in his name, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Delivered from this lost state, this miserable existence, this emptiness, this dead life. There's nobody else, I defy you this morning, but Jesus. And he sat down. And there's a lovely verse, I love it. When he came to his senses. Oh, I love this moment. Lots of us had this moment in our lives. I remember I was 17 years old when Jesus came into my life, when Jesus came to me and spoke to me. And there are lots of you in different ways can remember that time in your lives where God stepped in. And he began to think. He began to come to his senses. He began to put it all together in his head. Whoa. Listen, they're back home in my Father's house. They've got plenty. They've got all their needs met, all they want, all they desire. They have it there. the love, the care, the security. I'm in rags, feeding pigs. He came to his senses. I don't know what you think about yourself. You might think you're rather nicely dressed. You might think that everything is fine, dandy in your lives. You might consider yourself respectable or decent. Let me tell you something. God sees you as wretched, poor, needy. Self-sufficiency is not enough. I'm all right, Jack, blow the rest of you. No, self-sufficiency is not enough and will get you nowhere, only a lost eternity. And so this son would come to his senses. He said this, how many of my father's hired men have food and to spare? And here I am starving to death. You felt like that? Starving to death. You've tried all the stuff that the world has offered. You've tried all the stuff that the world has thrown at you. But you're starving. You're hungry. You found it bottomless. It's empty. It's left you desolate. One great man said that in all of us, there is a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. Are you feeling like that this morning? Empty? There's a great vacuum in your life. There's something missing and you've yet tried hard to find it. You can't find it. You don't know what. Perhaps that's why you're here this morning, to fill that hole. And so he said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he set off for home. Perhaps you've started that journey by coming today amongst us. Perhaps you've started that journey of making your way back. You're not sure what sort of reception you're going to get. You're not sure what they're going to say at home. Hang on. You've made your bed, lie in it. How many people have said that to you over the years as life has gone wrong and everything around you turned topsy-turvy? How many of you have said that and, oh God, you've made your bed, lie in it, and turned your backs upon you? Can you imagine all this stuff going through the boy's head as he walked home in his rags? Remember, it was from a far country. You might feel far away this morning. Far from God, hopeless and helpless. It's a long way home. But he carried on the journey. Words going over and over in his mind. Yes, he'd sinned not only against his father, but he'd sinned against heaven. Our sins are against God. They offend a holy God. Our waywardness, our sins. And yes, the Bible even says that God's angry with mankind because they've chosen to live as they want to live, free. You know, I get a little bit annoyed about this good news business. Why don't people accept this good news? It's so good. I tell you why people are not understanding this good news. Because they don't realize how bad the bad news is. They don't realize what it is to be a sinner, helpless and hopeless, that God is angry with them, that God's at war with them, that God judges them. The Bible says man's going to die once, and after death, the judgment. We all have to stand before God. This is what the Bible says. Oh, my brother, my sister, my friend this morning, we need to make the message clear. Yes, we've got good news. Why? Because the bad news is really bad. Far from God and lost. So while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Oh, let me tell you this morning, the Father's watching out for you. God's watching out for you and waiting for you to come home. He's standing there at the edge of his estate like this father in the story, looking in the distance, looking for you to come. Those folks sitting down there in the Elim Church in Durham Road, Mountain Ash, are they coming? Are they coming home? He's watching. And hang on. Is that my son? Is that my boy? And he waits, yes, and he could make out, yes, from the distance. And the Bible says he ran. Can you imagine God running towards you? Now, in Bible days, it was undignified for a man to run. You know, all the clothing, it wasn't the done thing. But let me tell you this morning, God's undignified sometimes. When it means rescuing a sinner from a lost estate, he runs towards you this morning. He comes with all his love and compassion. He had compassion. Oh, he felt for you in your lost estate. You know, there are lots of people. Oh, well, it's his own fault. He would go down that road. We told him about drugs. We told him about drink. We told him about all the other stuff, but they would not listen. But this father knew what his son had done, and he ran towards him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The kiss of the father. Do you know, in earthly life, one of the things I treasure. Next week, we're going to see our family, our son, in Nottingham. And the first thing my son will do to me, he'll put his arms around me and he'll kiss me. That is so precious. It's something my father never did. I never experienced that from my dad. But my son will kiss me. Dad, you're welcome. That's what he's saying. Dad, I love you. And this is what our Heavenly Father says to you this morning. Despite it all, I love you. And he gave his own son to die on the cross. The old hymn says he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might at last die and go to heaven, saved by his precious blood. That's what the Father's done. And he wants to embrace you. And he wants you to come to the fold. He wants you to come home. Oh, I know the glories of his love and taste the goodness of his grace and the marvel of his mercy and taste how fabulous forgiveness is, God's forgiveness. Lots of people have said because of our waywardness, we'll never forgive you, we'll never talk to you again, you've done it. But this boy's father in the story threw his arms around him. But Dad, I've caused all these problems for you. Dad, I've upset the whole apple cart. He had compassion. And God in the Bible does that to you and to me, to you perhaps this morning who've not yet come home. You've not yet come back to the Father. There are too many mistakes. Too much has happened. Too much has gone wrong. Yes, I feel a wretched sinner this morning. But the Father runs towards you through his Son Jesus, has compassion on you, throws his arms around you and kisses you, embraces you. The Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, I like the Bible buts, you know. The Bible buts are so important. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. And by the way, get the fatted calf. You know that one I was getting ready for a special event. Kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The son tried to tell the father, look, I'm not worthy. Father, I'm not worthy. Let me be one of your hired servants. I'll be content just to be, you know, on the fringe of things. But no, the father says, hang on, bring the best robe, put it on him, cover up his rags with my clothing. And you know, when you become a Christian, when you come home to the Father, when you accept that you're a sinner and cry out for forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of Jesus, spiritually, do you know what God does? He clothes you in his righteousness. He clothes you, gets rid of your rags. He covers up all that rubbish that's been covered in your life. covers you in a new robe. He covers you in the robe of righteousness. The Father's acceptance put sandals on his feet. He came on barefooted. He'd walked the whole the way. No, he came on bleeding feet. And the Father said, wash his feet. Put sandals on him. And the best thing of all, put a ring on his finger. Wow. A gold ring. A signet ring. A marking ring. The ring with all the Father's authority. He had the ring of authority to sign the checks, if you like. To use the Barclay card, if you like. The Father's authority. He gave him authority to obtain the riches of God in all its fullness. And that's what God will give you today. If you come home to him. That's what the Father does. He makes you not somebody, just a hired help. He makes you his son. He makes you his son. You were born again into a new family, into a living hope. Become sons and daughters of the living God. We sang it this morning. I'm a child of the King. I'm born again. I am his this morning. And we sang it with great impact because it's real. It's true this morning. It's happened in our lives. It can happen in your lives. And so they had a party. But Father, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I've walked away from you. I've turned my back on you. I've turned my back on everything that's good and right. Look, I'm just content to sit in the servants' hall. They had a party. This my son was lost, but he's found. He was dead, but he's alive again. And that's what happened, you know. When you come home to the Father, when you confess your sin, when you get right to know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, you're welcome. You've got new life. You're no longer dead. You've got this deadness within. You're no longer lost far away. You've realized you found yourself. You found home. You found hope in this living God. And he gives you authority to draw near to him boldly, not with arrogance, but because of the blood of Jesus in your life, he's given you the authority to come daily to him and say, Father, help. Father, I need you every moment of every day. This is the salvation that God offers. He doesn't say, well, you better go now to the, what is it? The guy that helps when you come out of prison and see what he can sort out for you. See if he can get you somewhere to live. See if he can sort out some money for you. And by the way, perhaps I'll give you a chit and you can go to the food bank. All that sort of stuff. No, he says, there we are. You've got my signet ring. I open my heart to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. That's prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace in times of need, in times of want. Come to me, call unto me, and I will answer you. Yeah, and they began to celebrate. Are you far from God this morning? Are you far away from home? Do you feel like the son in this story? You've wasted it all. You've wasted your life. Sin has gripped your life. Sin has held on to your life and broken you and ruined you. Your rebellion has been against God and you haven't realized that because nobody told you or explained to you that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And this morning, you feel as if your eyes have been opened. You feel this morning something tugging at your heartstrings. This is what I've been looking for all my life. And the Father is watching. He's looking. He's guarding. He's guiding. He's looking. He wants you to come home. You're ready to come home this morning. You might be somebody that comes to this church every week. And you've listened to all the stuff that goes on, but you've never really come home to the Father. You've never really made that decision that says, I'm going to turn my back on living for myself and I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live His way. I'm tired of the old way. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of being lost. I want life and life more abundantly that Jesus has promised to give. That's what I need this morning. And some of you might say, you've just popped in this morning. You might say, oh, that's just what I'm looking for. Granville, that's just what I need this morning. I need this Saviour. I need this Father's life in my heart this morning. I need to know my sin forgiven. I need to know my sins wiped out. I need to know my past dealt with. I need to have a hope, a new hope, a glorious hope that Christ gives alone. I need to be born again to have the life from heaven in me. Today is your opportunity to come and receive from God. Let's pray. Shall we pray, please? Just bow your heads, girls and boys and adults. Father, we feel your presence. We feel you moving amongst us. We feel you, Lord, speaking. Oh, God, our Father, and we pray that all of us today will open our hearts to you, will know the Father's embrace, will know the Father's kiss, will know the welcome. Oh, God, some of us are still far away. Some of us are still on the journey, making our way to where we don't know, no aim, no purpose in life, controlled by our sin, and we need to come home. Oh, God, our Father, have your way. Bring us to our senses this morning. Oh, God, and bring us home. Lord, bring us home, we pray. Father, in Jesus' name we ask you, keep your heads bowed. If this morning you felt the Father calling, you don't understand it, you don't quite, not quite sure what's going on, you recognize that something's going on, you feel quite emotional and you're not quite sure what's going on, there's something going on here. God is speaking. And can we invite you to come? Can we invite you to come home to the Father? Can we invite you to experience the Father's love and the Father's embrace? Perhaps it might make it easier for you this morning, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you want to come home this morning, will you just raise your hand and I'll see it, and you take it straight back down and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone this morning you want to come home to the Father? The struggle's going on now. God's so near, you know. These are precious moments. Let's just wait a moment before Sue leads us in a final song. Feel his presence. Feel a peace that you never experienced before. And you're thinking, this is what I need in my life. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Just let his love come now. Some of you are needing, you've been Christians a long time. You feel you need again the Father's embrace. The Father's kiss this morning, in these moments now. Oh, as we just sit in his presence. As we feel his presence coming like, coming to bathe us, to wash over us, to minister to our deepest hurts and our deepest needs. You feel broken and he's come to mend this morning. You feel empty and he's come to fill you this morning. You feel all everything's a mess. And he's come to calm you this morning. Oh, God. Oh, the welcome I have found there. Oh, Father, thank you for the welcome we found there. Oh, God, now we pray that your word will find a resting place in all our hearts. And Father, we pray as after the song we leave and go our separate ways, we pray that your word and your presence will linger in our lives. That Father, heaven will come to our lives. Heaven will come down and glory crown our souls this morning. Oh God, our Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't run away afterwards. Linger, have a chat, have a talk with us. It'd be lovely to meet with you.